make him fly also.
Welcome once again, my friends, to the party time that never ends. It is Charlotte Soccer Show. It is the people, they're calling it the People's Podcast, y'all. And I am here to welcome you to a great match day preview. We're finally home. We had a rough rainy night in New England. Eddie Rabbit once sang, "I love a rainy night," and I do love that song, but I hated that night in New England because it was horrible. But we appreciate everyone being here and showing up for a great preview against Toronto because it's time to do it. I think it's time to get a big win. I've already sworn off any predictions because I was so confident last week, and then it went to nowhere, and I ended up with like feeling like a fool. But here we are. So I'm rolling solo today. Johnny Hayes is out there in the streets making it all happen. So you got me, but I'm never alone. You know how we do on Thursdays. We talk to our friends at Apple. We shill for good old Tim Apple. You can think what you want, but I think Apple does a great job with MLS coverage, and I'm happy to work with them. And if you're a hater, then be a hater. But we have a very special guest who's joining us for the first time. And like we do, we like to introduce folks with the vault. So without further ado, let's take it all the way back to 2015.
The Adidas Freshman All-American Bowl in San Antonio, Texas. And the teams have been revealed.
At the quarterback, I took Gunnar Falk from Georgia and Jacob Sermon out of Washington.
And I took Trevor Lawrence out of Georgia. And I've got Ethan Balot
from Salt Lake City, Utah.
But he's a really good player. So with that cornerback, I got Brendan Bookie, Hadley Hills, I believe.
Riles Hills.
He didn't know your last name. It's an H. He sent me an R.
As you probably could tell, the gentlemen have not majored in linguistics, but they do know football. So
ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Neil Sika. Neil, how you doing, man? Welcome.
Danny, well done. And I had a feeling you were going to dip into that archive of Football University. I've done a lot with them through the years. And the funny thing is, David White, who's been a college coach at Nevada, the guy who was mispronouncing the names there, and mentioned Trevor Lawrence. Those guys have a great eye for talent. Christian McCaffrey, I was doing his games when he was in seventh grade. So Panthers fans, whether they want to reminisce on that or not, can look back at it well. But their track record's pretty impressive, and they've always treated me well. So it's a lot of fun to see the next future stars of gridiron football. But happy to talk some soccer with you today, and looking forward to the game this weekend. And I got to puff out my chest because we were talking about this off air. I'm working with Lloyd Sam, and he's like the mayor of the town. So to get on this show before him, I've got him in that.
Lloyd has always had an open invite, but Lloyd, you know, Lloyd's got it. We're not going to go on a remote show with someone who lives in town. Lloyd's got to come meet us in person. I think negotiations, our people are talking to his people. That might be where Johnny Hayes is today. Who knows? But we are very honored to welcome you. You beat Lloyd to the punch. We love talking to everybody that is calling these games and doing these wraparound 360 shows. Everybody, involved with the project. I love the coverage. I'm not afraid to say it, even though some people like to hate on the corporate, but I love it. So you are working with Lloyd, and you have been calling some Charlotte games. What is your impression of Charlotte, of everything you've seen, you've been scouting? Yeah. And what do you think of this team as we head into what, you know, it almost feels like these games become must wins because we have high hopes. They're not a must win to save your season, but it's a must win to achieve your goals, I feel like. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think the fan base caught a glimpse of at least last week in New England, right? With all the pomp and circumstance leading up to that game, or at least the comments from Caleb Porter and then Dean with his rebuttal, whether it was meant to be intentional or not. The game was still there for the taking, and they didn't do it. And you know that, and I think you waxed poetic on that pretty well in your show in the recap over the weekend. But we had the opening game against New York City. And so I think there was a buzz, right? There's this guy who's got an iconic name in the state stepping into this role, and what's the pedigree of the team going to be? And I think this has been discussed in multiple circles since the season began. But the decorum that Dean Smith has set. You could see it in the first game. That game was staticky at times. New York City struggled in the attack. They're still struggling in the attack. But
for Charlotte, it was exactly what they needed. One, win your home opener for the very first time. Defend well. Be tough to break down. And, you know, honestly, you're still looking for the guy who's going to be the man up top, right? So Lloyd and I got into that discussion during the game because Vargas took the penalty. Copetti did not. So you see this young, bright player in Yuri Tavares also make some headlines in that game. I think that's still a work in progress for this team. I don't think I'm saying anything that people of the fan base already don't know. But for the fact of the matter is, you're looking at a team last year that got into the playoffs, right? But they gave up so many goals or points from winning positions. So starting from the baseline of what Dean Smith's been about in his entire coaching career and bringing that now into fruition, you're going to have a shot. And that's all you ask for in MLS, because parity settles in. No matter how good you feel, if you win two or three games in a row, one loss like last week can set you back in what feels like a month's worth of time. So now it's the chance where they're coming home and they've got all these home games. What, 8 of the next 12, I think, are at the bank.
Yes.
It's a chance for them to make hay.
Yeah, and I think like 6 of 8 even too also. So I mean, we have a saying here on the show. We just always put up Dino's at the wheel. That kind of describes what you're saying in terms of the class. This is, you know, the meme we made out in Coachella, and thank God we did, because we've gotten heavy, heavy, heavy rotation out of this one for sure. We always bring it up. But I wish, in a perfect world, we wouldn't still be talking about that Copetti handed the ball to Vargas from, you know, 2 months ago. Right. But unfortunately, that's still a big talking point for Charlotte FC, because Copetti has not found his scoring boots. Like, it would have been so nice for him to open his account in week one with a penalty and just get off the schneid. Now, ever since then, he's had several 1v1 chances that didn't pan out, and he's starting to, you know, draw the attention of the fan base for not scoring goals. Even though everyone in the club loves what he's doing, Dino continues to speak highly of him. I just think, I wonder about what you've seen when you watch Enzo Copetti.
Well, therein lies the rub, right? He's a DP. He's always going to have that attention, whether he's scoring goals or not. And I'm seeing a guy that scored 5 or 2 goals in his last 18 games. Now, some of that had to do with working around the leg injury that he had in the mid portion of last season. And I think the element of the fit, and people have talked about, do you play him and Ajumon together? But then you're really stuck with him going on the wing. I mean, where is the right formula for him? And I still think it boils down at the end of the day, regardless of who's playing striker or the 9 position for this team, is who's setting them up? Where are the chances coming from? Because it's a team right now that's led by Westwood with 9 key passes. And the funny thing is, they've gotten themselves into good goal scoring positions. You know, is Diagre going to be your 10? Is he going to float wide on the right? Is he going to tuck inside? Is he going to be able to make the final pass? Mm-hmm. Can Abada provide that? Well, Abada is a guy usually on the end of that type of stuff. So there's a lot of still working parts with this attack. And not to step away from the Copetti question, but Lloyd has a phrase too. And whether it's a young player or you're the guy, you have to act like the man. Be that guy. Have some arrogance to your play. Right. And I think, I don't want to call it in between the ears on a regular basis with him, but confidence is fleeting. So when we see him play and he's in front of the home fans, and if he gets a chance to start this week, and if it's him over Ajumon after last week and the chances that he let go to waste, does he take advantage of it against a Toronto team that's been giving up a lot of goals the last 2 weeks after a really strong start? Second time the teams are going to play this year. So
this, no Insigne this time. He beat us with the wonder goal up there in Canada.
Yeah, no Insigne this time. And you, I caught part of what you were saying after the game against New England, where you felt it was winnable in a game that they thought that they should win. And I think you're right. I mean, for all intents and purposes, they could have been up a couple of goals in the first 15 minutes. This is a game I think they have to win, knowing full well at home the way they've played. Toronto's struggling. Yes, they have Sean Johnson back, but you just mentioned not having Insigne. A mark of a team that goes from decent and kind of middle of the pack to make the next steps, these are the games you win in MLS, and they fall usually at home. So taking advantage of that, I think, is of the utmost importance for them, regardless of the striker situation and the six goals that scored, finding crosses, finding chances to create, and seeing what comes to fruition in a game like this, because we might get a ping pong cross fest. Both these teams are top 10 in crosses from open play.
So you're rapidly shooting up the list of my favorite guests, Neil, because you mentioned that you actually did some scouting and listened to like previous episodes of the show before coming on. I cannot thank you enough for that. Tony Husband is still up there because Tony mentioned the show on the cast. Tony like shouted us out and said, go listen to the Charlotte Soccer Show during okay. during the match.
I guess I got to take it up.
So you can take that up a notch. It was because we had interviewed Zoran Crneta that week. So he was like, hey, he's like, don't go listen to my interview. Go listen to the Zoran Crneta. But you mentioned Ashley Westwood. You mentioned Liel Abada. That is where I want to take the conversation next. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear what you think of Abada and what kind of difference he could make. But let's first listen to Westwood real quick. You and I are both going to be talking to Dean Smith later today after we are done with this episode. But here's what Ashley Westwood said yesterday when people were kind of pressing him on missed chances. And I want to get your reaction to this.
We're good. That's part and parcel of football. It's like I said, we're creating chances. If we weren't creating chances, that's when you start worrying. So we're creating good chances. It's down to us to work hard in training and to put it right.
How do you feel about the level? Like, you feel like they're good enough chances to take advantage of? Do you feel like you can get better chances?
There's always improvement, but we're creating one-on-ones and we're creating good chances. So like I said, we're getting there. We're not worried about that, but we're going to work today and this week to make even better chances, because that's what we want to do.
Does it seem like it can be a mental thing where if you just get one over the line, everyone's going
to
get
it's just one of them things. Like I said, we're not really worried about it. We're looking at it. We spoke today in the meeting. The gaffer spoke about it, how we can improve on it. So we're gonna put it to test today. And like I said, Patrick's been, he's a young kid. I think his fourth start in football. So he's leading the line brilliant. He's a handful. He sent one player injured off. He didn't want anything to do with it. So that shows what a threat Patrick is. And like I said, the minute one goes in, they'll be like London buses. They'll all be coming at once.
Ashley, how long can it last though for you to say, we just are fine getting chances? We're fine getting chances. Like, we're hearing it all season. We're not scoring goals. Like, at some point, does not finishing become a worry?
No, because you see the best strikers in the world go through patches where they're not scoring. So it's not that. Like I said, we're getting there. So they are going to come. Like I said, we believe it in there. We're going to hit someone for six soon. And I've said that to the lads. We're very close to being a real, real good team. And that's just the final part. And that's why the best strikers in the world get paid the most money, because that's the hardest job in football.
Hitting for six soon sounds pretty good to me. I don't know if it's going to be this weekend or at a future date, but what do you hear there? I love the joke about the London buses, but I tried to press him a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I would take two in a game if I was a Charlotte fan.
Right, yeah. But
so far this season, I think there's a part of him knowing full well, if you're a data guy, 47 chances created as a team. That's bottom four in the league. However, those chances, when they've gotten into good positions, have been pretty good. If you like expected goals, right, they're top six in the league. Charlotte, 12, but they're underperforming.
Okay? I feel like that needs to change. I don't know. Yeah. Let's meet in the middle.
That has to change, right? You either can go more high volume, but if you're not getting the better looks, what difference does it make? Ultimately, mm-hmm. It falls on the guy who's leading the line or someone you expected to maybe pick up where they wrapped up last season, Kerwin Vargas. Like, he's got expected goals over two, right? Hasn't scored yet.
Well, that goes back to that penalty, man, because like him giving Kerwin the ball, Copetti thinking he's doing a good thing, Kerwin ends up shooting it straight at the keeper. Now his confidence is shattered and Enzo still has no goals. Then Kerwin really hasn't been the same since that moment. He was subbed out, you know, after that game, right?
Like, no. Yeah, and that's part of that's the rub, right, again, of trying to score goals on a regular basis or being the curious case of an attacking player. And now you've got an $8 million transfer guy coming in. And
about a time, as we've been saying around here. Yeah.
You're still working him into the mix. And this is going to be his third game in a row now playing on turf. Maybe he's getting used to that surface. Maybe, again, there are the creature comforts of getting used to the league. Fans don't want to hear those excuses. They see this guy, what he did at the tail end of his last couple of seasons at Celtic, and to perform. And I think that's definitely in him, but he's also a guy that's thrived off of good play from the other side of the wing, right, making those late runs. You've seen the highlights. I don't need to relive that.
I played the highlights.
Yeah, right.
I've pirated the highlights from numerous Celtic fan sites. Yeah, it's great.
But you're also not playing Dundee United on a regular basis in the Scottish Premiership. So it's a little bit of a different manifestation if you're Abada and getting used to the league and all that may come with it. But if he gets his full start again, and now that he's getting his footing, I expect to see a little bit more. I like the way he started the game last week, and then he went on a milk carton. But you could say that a lot of the attack too.
Yeah, for sure. And he was playing with, you know, we had us backup right back in. Jalen Lindsay was in for Nathan Byrne, who, Nathan Byrne also was not in training today. So I think we can probably expect Jalen Lindsay to start his second straight game. And speaking of training, let me just bring this up because this was interesting to me. We talk about Charlotte FC running out of steam, conceding late goals, not being up for it in key moments. And you tell me what you think, because I was at the open training this morning. And here's Dean Smith out before everybody. Dean Smith, the first guy onto the grounds today. You know, no players in sight. I go to a lot of these open trainings. This is rare. Usually the players are all there before the gaffer. And then we got, the guys are getting ready, some keepy-uppies and whatnot. You know, this was some fun moments. But you're going to see in a minute here, what do you think when the coach is the first guy out to training? Does that mean anything to you like it does to me? I don't know.
I think it just sets the tone, right, of the expectations. So whether your best players out there, and that's often the case, no matter what locker room you're in.
Yep. And as they're going through these drills, I just felt a lot more focused. But the real reason I showed this clip is for here, because this was a few minutes later. Dean being the first one out there, to me, he was like, we're going to make the guys run today. And when we're there for practice, we never see this just like straight sprints. It's always some kind of drills. So I thought it was interesting that today was a huge running day for the club. And I hope that translates to some better performances late in halves.
Yeah, look, I think he's pissed. I think the team should be pissed after a game last week that, in the typical case of an MLS game in the early season, could go either way, but that was a winnable game on the road.
Right.
And something you could take 3 points away from. And
right
now, not knowing that the pressure maybe increases just a little bit, knowing that Toronto got you up there, they're struggling coming into this building, and you want to play well in front of that packed lower bowl at the bank on Saturday. But you know, I'll say this with Dean's intentions, and this goes back to the decorum he's brought defensively. You're not worrying, though, late on, or at least yet in games, because of what they did last season, which was a complete mess, giving up 24 points from winning positions, 15 points alone in the last 10 minutes, right? And they've only conceded twice in the second halves of games this year. So they're figuring out that part pretty quickly. And being from a center back's mentality, you knew that would be the easy part he could orchestrate. Now comes the rest. You got Milanda in place. You got Privet in place. Okay, how do we get this attack up and running and being a little bit more robust with some of the pieces they have? Because like I mentioned to you, I've liked what I've seen in snippets from Tavares. Abada gets going, and then all of a sudden you got some guys who can run on the outside. Diagre finds his place.
Yeah.
So it could be a little bit more sunshine and roses, I think, if they do figure it out. And that's where I could see Ashley Westwood is bullish with those comments.
Yeah, I love Captain Westwood, and I was happy for him to be bullish. I did feel like I had to press him a little bit because it is like – you do get tired of hearing the same message over and over and over again without different results. But we have a saying that we say all the show, another one, fill the fortress, protect the keep, you know, to play on the whole, you know, crown imagery. And what do you think from visiting Charlotte and you're coming back now, like what is your thoughts on the home field advantage and the fan impact? Because Charlotte plays much, much better at home. And I really think that our fan base has a huge part to do with that.
Yeah. Well, I was blown away. It was the first game. I did 5 games last year on season pass, so this is first full season, and that's the first moment, right, that you're a part of something like that, and you've got 60,000 plus in the stadium. It was pretty neat to be there for that. But also the game didn't lend itself, and the wind whipping around for just constant bedlam, which sometimes you want throughout the focus of a game. And I mean that in terms of the cadence and the rhythm of when you're calling a game. And you get that in openers. So I'm expecting now that they've settled in a little bit more, a team that they know that they probably owe, because Toronto's had the upper hand when they played Charlotte in their brief time.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the organic nature of what the crowd is becoming, and I think they're still growing in some aspects, but it's a neat atmosphere to be a part of. And I know from my time doing Columbus games, where we didn't travel, and being just in these scenes is pretty special in its own right. But watching games, you can remember the wild ending in 2022 with Lucas Ellerion scoring from half field. Charlotte came back a couple of goals. Thinking, man, that would be a neat atmosphere to catch a game in. Yeah. So I know it can live up to that billing, and I'm sure that will be the case as the season goes along.
We were all ready to get rid of Kalina that day for sure, but he did work his way back.
Some of these were key in getting into the playoffs last year. That was for sure.
Yeah. We still love him in our heart of hearts for sure. But that was a rough one. And Lucas is just amazing. Like it's tough to beat Lucas. You got a front row seat to that as a long time.
Yeah, player. Special to be a part of that in the 2020 team. And I go back to the days of 2008 and when I was doing radio for the first 8 years. So a lot of great memories from the league's first club. And now they're on a completely different level with what Wilfried Nancy's brought to them and getting my finals now at the Champions Cup. So it's been fun to watch them from afar. And I had their game last week. I've had a couple of them. We'll have a few. And with Lloyd and I in Charlotte and Columbus, you'll be seeing more of us kind of in the regional pod over the next several weeks.
Yeah, and we're doing the Ohio double where we go play Columbus and then Cincinnati, I think, in the same week later on this season, which is going to be crazy. I just to give you this bit of information, since you are going to be here, and hopefully I can promise a little bit better weather for you.
Yeah,
our good friend Steve Munsey,
golf guy. I'm looking forward to maybe even getting in around on Sunday.
Oh, excellent. Well, hey, if you're going to be in town, you need to come to Hot Fly, our Sunday recap show. You've already been a watcher. You can come be a guest on that, too. You can come do the recap. I don't know when your flight leaves, but if you're in town on Sunday and you play some golf, first off, Johnny will be mad that he's not playing with you. And second off, swing by Hot Fly, please. But this is the Rowan County forecast from Steve Munsey. This is a good friend of our show. Looks pretty good.
This is great. Yeah. It's pouring right now in central Ohio, and the tournament, speaking of Matt, that was delayed because of the rain coming from the south, but hopefully it's all cleared and the weekend looks excellent. So that first game too, I mean, the temperature during the day was good. And then
the wind just kept blowing. Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. Hopefully we're hoping that today is like the best, like perfect spring Charlotte, or Saturday, excuse me, is like the best perfect spring Charlotte day. Let me just, while you're here, thank you so much for your time. Just so grateful to everyone who's so generous with their time to come visit on the show. Since we always have another tradition on the show is you stick to the end and you get the wild card topics, and like some of the best conversation sometimes pops in at the end. I know we have some fans and friends that are friends, fans of the league in general. What's going on with Cucho, man? Like, you, if you know Columbus pretty well, what's the Cucho situation? Is he like just trying to stomp his feet and get his way out of town, or is he just making acting out? What's going on here?
Yeah, I think people are quick to make judgments when you have a situation like that where mum's the word from the head coach, right, even though he had come out and said 2-game suspension or team policy timeout, if you will, after the game in Charlotte. And you might have saw a little bit of what happened when he was leaving the field in their lone loss. But I had heard from some folks, maybe that stemmed over into the locker room a little bit. Now, granted, again, Wilfried Nancy wasn't there. He was ill. Right. But this is a guy who set the bar. We've already mentioned this with Dean Smith, like creating the culture, the decorum. And Wilfried Nancy stepped in. And whether you're Cucho or whether you're a guy coming up from Crew 2, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You're going to abide by the culture that he has set, the decorum. And I've used that word a lot, but it's so important just in terms of a team that had a lot of talent that kind of spilled out a little bit toward the tail end of the Caleb Porter years. And now they find this guy where not only is it implied in what they do on a week-to-week basis on the field, but within the community and around town in Columbus too. But back to Cucho's case, it was just a bad scenario for him to come back into the game. He was frustrated. He was fouled. DC fouled Columbus 19 times in that game. Cucho, McVay was on him. like a cape within the first 2-3 minutes of that game. And I think he obviously lost his cool. But you got to remember, too, he's 24. I mean, there are maturation processes still. He's still going through things from a maturity standpoint. I think we've seen that on a regular basis. He was suspended before and again in 2022. But it's funny how when he gets back into the thick of things, creates that goal that tied it to send it to extra time on Tuesday, where everything is copacetic again. And
all worked out. Nancy's master plan all worked out, you know, right?
Absolutely. And everyone's like, oh, it cost him the game on Tuesday in the home leg. They had all these chances. He could have put some away. And then he's kind of anonymous in the DC game because of frustrations, gets sent off. But it's real quick when the player understands that. And I think Cucho understood that regardless of how the DC game ended. He knew where his stead was going to be. There was no drama that hung on, even if people in the media wanted to maybe create that. And now look at where they are. And they're right back to feeling pretty darn good heading into a road game at Salt Lake. Knowing that they just accomplished something that no MLS team has done in not winning that first leg against the Mexican opposition and then advancing. Right. So, look, this guy's too good, and I think they know that in terms of dealing with some of the inconsistencies of how he's behaved, but they know full well that he has bought in overall because they've obviously gone through some wonky seasons already with him. But keep an eye this summer because I think – if he continues his goal scoring rate, then you know everyone's talked about Aiden Morris. Is he the next guy to go to Europe? Well, Kucha's going to be right back in that vestibule to find his way over to a bigger club. But he's a good citizen again from everything that had occurred over the last 10 days or so. And obviously, one of the more exciting players to watch in the league. So we'll see how that develops.
A learning experience for sure. But yeah, and you know, a guy that, you know, I wish that we would have had the ambition to go sign a couple of years ago. A guy like that when we were kind of in like a lost summer back in the window when we signed Nuno Santos and all them. But whatever.
This is only the third year of the franchise. You'll get there.
Yeah. I know. I will say that if Cucho can find a way to be suspended for that July 17th match where Charlotte goes up to Columbus, I would really appreciate that. I would like to go to that game. I went to the MLS Cup final last year and really enjoyed the field. Lower.com, right, is the name of the stadium.
Really great place. It honestly, they didn't put a foot wrong for the fans in terms of the experience and knowing full well, having watched games for so many years at Historic Crew Stadium. It's not that far from downtown, but everyone's like, they need a downtown stadium. They need to. And knowing the type of community that Columbus is, where the professional element of their fandom, we've seen it with the Blue Jackets, they will come support you, even if you're in a place where it feels like there's something going on. So you get a building like that, that's spectacular, but also the product, right? You got to hold on to them, which is at its zenith, essentially, in club history right now. It's the perfect combination, and 20,000 a game on a regular basis now over the last year and a half.
I mean, sometimes I question why we saved the crew, but we did. So I guess we're going to have to live with them. But I mean, they're setting the standard. Columbus is setting the standard, which is yet another reason I'm so thankful to have a great, knowledgeable, longtime Columbus expert joining us on the show, calling our game this weekend against Toronto. We're going to win. I said I wasn't going to predict, and here I am predicting. If you want to come out and hang with us on Saturday, it's Hot Fly Brewing, as it always is. We're going to be going live on YouTube. If you want, Neil, put us on. Call up the pregame when you're in the booth, when you're doing your prep. Keep it on mute. You don't have to listen. Just, you know, just give us a listen. You know, give us a stream. Just give us one.
Tell Lloyd he's got to do his homework because eventually he's going to be on this show.
I'll tell you what. You and Lloyd both come to Hot Fly on Sunday for the recap show, 5 o'clock. You know.
Well, a little sneak preview for you. We'll be back, I believe, for the Portland game at the start of May.
Perfect.
And then we've got Philadelphia too, toward the back end of May. So you haven't seen the last of us, and
I love it.
The bank.
Well, I hope if all the stars and planets align, maybe we'll get to hang out in person and give a cheers up. I really appreciate you coming on today, Neil. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that would be great, Danny. Thanks for having me.
Sweet. For the crown, baby.